Hello, and welcome to Transient Wool Merchants, Episode 6, where we talk about all things on the road and woolly. I'm Amy.
I'm Heather.
And let's dive right in.
Okay, well, we just got back from Shenandoah. We've been back, what, about a week now, almost? And the Shenandoah Valley Fiber Festival in Berryville, Virginia. This was our third session of this show, not third year, because it's really only been 2 years. So what was different about this year? What was good? What was bad?
Well, this year was a little rougher for us than it has been in the past. We didn't do quite as well, although it was a wonderful, wonderful show, and it was so nice to see the folks that we always see at this show. I think I told you about the lady who bought the first skein of yarn that we ever sold to make a hat for her son, because he wanted a really manly watch cap, and she wanted, like, really manly yarn, so she actually bought the first skein of yarn we ever sold.
And this was awesome.
Yeah, this was her second time stopping back with her son wearing the hat. And this year they picked up some of that black and white barber pole Jacob to make him a new watch hat, because his original one is now 2 years old. And it's always just really fun to see those folks who have been with us since the beginning. I mean, they were literally the first skein of yarn we ever sold. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so seeing him in the hat from the first skein of yarn and picking out new yarn for another hat, it's kind of cool. And then this was actually the first show that we've done since the podcast launched, where somebody actually came up to us in the booths and said, "Oh my God, I love your podcast. I listen to it every week." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, somebody is listening."
When I went to check in, when we got there to set up, I went up to the organizer's tent, was like, "Hi, I'm Gershubi. I'm here to, you know, set up." And it's like this little side table off of where we were checking in, three ladies like started jumping up and down going, "Oh, you're the Transient Wool Merchants." They're like, "Here, have these mugs, you know, because you talked about the show on your podcast." And they said, "Oh, your husband must be here with you." I said, "No, he didn't get to come this time. My mom's here." And they're like, "Oh, well, here, give her a mug too."
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. The same thing happened when I pulled up, and they were like, "Oh, it's the Transient Wool Merchants." And I'm like, yeah.
At that point, I'm so focused on getting my own stuff set up, I was like, "Wait, I'm a Transient Wool Merchant? Wait, did someone forget to tell me about something here?"
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool. I don't think I had anybody mention it in the booth other than when you sent them down and said, "Oh, the other half is down about three booths." But that was pretty cool, checking in and them recognizing that, you know, we're Transient Wool Merchants. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Because
as far as repeat customers at Gershubi, I had a few come back. Including, I do believe, one from my first year, and she mentioned what roving I sold her that first year. It was navy blue and black and lime green, which does sound like something I would dye. I just don't remember it in particular. So that was exciting. The show went pretty well for me. Pretty well, not as good as my spring shows that were 2 days, but more than twice as good as last year. So I really can't complain. It's my most expensive show, just from a gas standpoint. It's a long way from Charlotte to Winchester, but it was worth it, and we'll probably do that one next year, you know, unless we move to Montana, then that would really be a lot of gas money.
Well, I'm definitely doing it next year, because I know a top secret, super secret thing about next year's show that means I'm going to be there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what you're talking about, and when they make the announcement, we'll announce it on here as well.
Yes, because next year is their 10th year, and a fantabulous spectacle of sheepy goodness.
Vibery goodness.
Yep. Yep. So I'm really
also
excited.
Also about the show, did you purchase anything? Any stash enhancement going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm in Spinzilla right now. So I was getting my last minute stash enhancements added to the stack so that I could be well prepared because, well, we'll get into Spinzilla in a little bit. But anyways, I visited Nidian Keller. I met her at SSK and I picked up some green sparkly Rolags from her.
Oh, so that's where those came from.
Yeah, she has gorgeous stuff.
I actually bought a skein of her yarn.
And I bought a small Turkish spindle from her husband, Subterranean Woodwork. And I had to get some batlings from Hobbledehoy. Met her at SSK as well. And the batlings, they're just so darn cute. I mean, if they were all one big braid, I'd probably be like, oh, that's nice. But these batlings are just so darn cute.
And what the heck is a batling? Is that like a tribble?
It's sort of like a tribble. It's like a teeny tiny bat, really. They almost look to me like top that is sort of in a knot or a nest, depending on which company they come from. But I did get two Kellers from her. I got Countess Grantham something or other, which I'm sure is a reference to one of the shows that everybody watches that I don't. And Glacial something or other, which was a blue thing that's absolutely gorgeous. But there's just so many different things in it. There's like sari silk and milk fiber and merino, and it's just a big old party in a bag. So I picked those up. And then I picked up some more mohair silk from my friend Katrina at Fluffy U Fiber Farm. And I know I got more than that. I was like running out the door and grabbing things. I mean, people probably thought I was insane because I just like dash out the front of our building and like run to the left and grab things and run back, or run to the right and grab things and run back. I got
that's
those.
That's how it goes when you're a vendor.
Yeah. Oh, I got my husband actually picked out a new drop spindle from Spanish Peacock, and he doesn't know it yet, but I got him the...
Wait, does he listen to this?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Something that he wanted, he's getting for Christmas, and it happened.
I mean, I know you're super excited about it, but let's not let the cat out of the bag quite yet.
Okay, he has to wait till Christmas. But okay. He really thinks he's going to be a drop spindler here very soon. He's spindle curious. He's got a trindle, he's got a Turkish, he's got a regular drop spindle, and he's got a Spanish peacock spindle. I mean,
does he have fiber to go with these?
Yes, that was what the sparkly green Rolags were for. It was like glam camo. Actually, that should be the name of something, glamo camo.
There you go.
Anyways, yeah, so he's got Rolags. One of those little tribbly batlings would be ideal for spindling. That's basically what I was thinking, because remember I got the Into the World weirdo pack when I was at Maryland of all the different lumps and bumps, because it was just fun thinking that I would spindle those. But anywho, I'm kind of sleep deprived.
I had two little purchases. I try not to buy too much at shows because, well, I'm there to make money, not spend money.
Yeah.
But I couldn't resist. There was a supported spindle in Grashubi Green, which, if you've seen my logo, it's kind of like a Kelly Green color. otherwise known as Gershubi Green, and I had to have it, so I got that. So it seems like spindles were fairly popular on this excursion this year. And I used it yesterday.
How'd it work?
In fact, I've used it on two different things. I had bought some punies from Gourmet Stash and some tribbles as well at Maryland. And I thought, well, these will be nice. Punies are not my thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure a lot of people love them. They're kind of like from the devil, I'm pretty sure, though. Did not enjoy that experience. The fiber itself was really, really nice, but not a fiber prep I'm probably going to just be drawn to. The tribbles are great. I love those. They're less unwieldy than a bat and not quite so overwhelming, even though when you add them all together, it's the same amount as if you had bought a bat.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm liking my supported spindle there. And I got a skein of the Milky Way colorway from Nitty and Color. And that's nice. I haven't used it yet.
By the way, she's just about the sweetest person you'll ever meet in your life.
Well, I actually had emailed her, and she just proved that, because when I opened the skein up, there were some rather large white patches inside, and I wasn't sure if it was a design element or if it was just where the ties had been. And so I sent her an email. I said, I'm a fellow vendor. I know you're probably annoyed that I'm sending you this question. But she was real nice. She's like, no, that's supposed to have that. And that when she twisted the skein, all the white probably just ended up on the inside. So that was nice of her to take time to respond in such a thorough manner, because it was a pretty long email she sent me.
Which reminds me, I forgot to give you your skein that I brought you back from SSK.
You stinker. I guess you'll have to give it to me at Rhinebeck. Mentioning Rhinebeck. You like my segue there?
Good Lord. Do I have to have another panic attack today?
No, you can't have a panic attack, because I've got to dye everything for SAF, which is also coming up in the next 2.5 days. Because I'm home for like 6 days after this before SAF.
Well, I'm starting to panic, because it seems to me like Rhinebeck is going to be like knitting Hollywood. It seems that every podcast I listen to, every designer I follow, they're all going to be at Rhinebeck, and it's like they walk amongst us. I'm so afraid that we're going to run into people that I idolize, and they're going to look at my stuff, and that makes me nervous, because, well, you know what happened when when Deb Robson walked into the booth. I about
passed out.
So I'm really nervous, because, you know, we started carrying the Kirsten Kapoor patterns, and she says our booth is her first stop, and she's pretty much 2/3 of the patterns that I've knitted since I started knitting have been Kirsten Kapoor. The other third is Laura Nelkin. So they're both going to be at Rhinebeck. I mean, I love Laura. I'm perfectly cool with her now, but I'm a little nervous to meet Kirsten, so.
Oh, it'll be fine. And you know me, I'll talk to anybody, because I'm going with you to Rhinebeck. My lovely friend here invited me to help in her booth again.
I can't do it without you. You're the voice of reason.
No, I'm pretty sure Scooter Pie is the voice of reason, and he just kind of keeps the two of us from going nuts. Yes. He's a calming influence.
He is. He's a great big Zen bear.
So, where is your booth located at Rhinebeck?
It is in Barn 22U, which I understand is a two-story barn, and it's like a bank barn. You can walk into both the upper and the lower without having to do stairs, which is the way my barns here are set up. It's usually called a bank barn. I don't know what they call it in the Hudson Valley of New York, but in Pennsylvania, it's a bank barn. But anyways, we're in the upper section in booth 3, and we're in the space that last year was Pleasant Home Woolen Company, and they're just like the sweetest elderly couple I've ever met in my life. And when I saw her at one of the shows earlier this year, she asked if we were in Rhinebeck, and I said, no, we hadn't gotten in. We were still on the waiting list. And she says, oh, sweetheart, maybe, you know, we're not going this year. Maybe you'll get our booth. And we did. So I'm just, like, so grateful to them.
For not going.
For not going. Well, they've retired, and I totally get that. And I hope at some point that we will, too. But, if I had to get somebody's booth and I had to get it some way, I'm glad it was them and it was how it happened. Because I always feel badly when we get booths because somebody's had truck trouble or health issues or whatever. I just feel like it's, sort of bad karma. But, this just makes me happy because they do a similar thing to what we do. So, I like that. And when we go to Rhinebeck, the one thing that I am looking forward to is we're going to have dinner at the CIA.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
That's pretty much the only thing. Oh, and I can't forget, Laura Nelkin says we have to eat at Fork in the Road, which is outside of town and shouldn't be crowded. Although I just said that, so now it will be. she says it's really, really good, and it's far enough outside of town that we can get in.
Well, seeing as I'm, like, going to be attached to your apron string since I'm staying with you, pretty much wherever you're going, I'm going to, so.
Yeah, we're just going to take a big old tub and make you a nest of wool and...
That ought to be interesting. Maybe we should put pictures up of that.
Oh, yes. That should be interesting as well. Mm.
So, you have Rhinebeck coming up. I'll leave on Thursday. It is our 10-year wedding anniversary. So we are going to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Given my husband is feeling better and he does not give me his creeping crud, sinus, whatever he's got. It's been a little hairy around here for a couple of days. So we leave on Thursday. We get back Monday or Tuesday. And then I'm home Wednesday. And then I'll leave for Rhinebeck with you on Thursday. And then I get home on Monday night, and I'm home for 2 days, and then it's SAF, which is also another show that's coming up.
I can't even think about that. That all sounds very now.
Stressful.
That sounds very soon, and I'm just, I gotta get through Rhinebeck. SAF is happening. And, I mean, think about the turnaround we've got. We've got to drive down from Rhinebeck and pack up the scraps of whatever we've got left and then head south for SAF because one show one weekend is in the Hudson Valley of New York and then the following weekend we have a show that starts Friday, not Saturday, in Asheville, North Carolina, which is like...
A really long way from New York.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. And we're all camping on site. So it'll be exciting. My husband's going to get to go. We're bringing you a big green egg.
I'm so very excited to see Wainer. Just love that man.
Are we actually knitting on anything right now?
I am so excited. I have rounded the corner. I'm now on clue 4 of Wago. And I'm doing the evil, awful, beaded, applied cable border. That is knit actually like perpendicular to the shawl.
Well, it's knitted onto the shawl.
Yeah. This is the first time I've done anything like that. And when I first read it, I thought, Laura Nelkin, you're super crazy pants. But now I'm kind of getting the hang of it and, I can do this. And it actually looks like something. And that was kind of exciting.
Well, it's a neat effect, but how much of it have you done?
I've done 15 rows, which I think is about an inch and a half.
Yeah. See, you remember how I whined about the Grand Army Plaza shawl and trying to cast off for that? That was one of those knitted edging, cast on, cast off things. You're going to be in purgatory for a while.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is, evil incarnate and, yeah, I'm not really...
It's just a test in patience, because you knit, and you knit, and you knit, and you get, like, a half an inch of finished product. Because you cast off probably one stitch every other row, is that correct?
No, this one actually, every other row, there's, like, there's like a, it's not a 4-row repeat because it's a 48-row repeat, but in 4 rows you cast off 3 stitches. Every other
well,
row.
Too you bad. So are you casting off on both sides? No, that can't be right.
No. On every right side, the first right side, you cast off 1, and then you purl back, and then when you knit the right side again, you cast off 2, and
then purl back, okay.
And then 1, and then purl back, and then 2, and then purl back. So, in the 48 row repeat, you cast off 56 stitches.
That's not too bad. There's I mean, it's essentially 3 every 4 rows, so.
There's like 579.
Don't look too closely at that, just keep knitting.
No, I'm wrong. At the 48 row repeat, you cast off 36 stitches. Not 56. 56 beads, 36 stitches. So, it actually takes 16 48 row repeats to finish the bind off, the knitted on bind offy thing.
Okay, we're not just gonna just let us know in about 6 months when you're done with that, okay?
Well, it's Spinzilla. I can't even think about that right now.
Well, the only thing I'm knitting right now is a sock. Toe up, afterthought heel, knit in circles, takes about 100,000 stitches to make a sock. A little bit less because I have skinny feet. I've done a little bit of spinning, but you're in doing the Spinzilla thing. I don't have time for that mess. Not happening.
Well, I did it last year, and I really had fun, except I didn't realize like how serious people are about this. So once I realized how serious people are about this, somehow then I managed to sign myself up for Team Knit Girls, which was like second behind another team, and this year they're like gonna win one way or another, and so the pressure now is like 10 times what it was last year.
See, I don't do things like that because then it's not fun and inevitably life gets in the way.
Oh, I'm terrified that I'm gonna have some sort of an injury and let somebody down. I mean, I spent like 3 hours yesterday evening adding all of my fiber stash to Ravelry and getting all the photos up and putting it all together and having it all ready, so when I finish one, I can just move on to the next. And I've got 4 wheels here sitting around all gassed up and ready to go, so I can just hop on whatever's closest, spinning whatever I feel like spinning at that moment. And it's fairly psychotic. I have over 6 pounds of fiber because I did find the 3 feet of sheep after I took all those pictures. So I have over 6 pounds of fiber prepped for this week. And that's insane. There's no way I'm spending a pound a day.
No. And no, just no. No. I don't even have 6 pounds of stash of fiber anyway. I might have 3. I doubt I have 3.
Well, I mean, that's not even counting my product.
Right.
So
this is personal stash, not business.
This is personal stash from, you know, snippets from here and there from all of our travels. You know, picking up a little reminder here. And I can tell you where every piece of it came from. And probably what the name of the salesperson was. Because I'm connected to my stash like that. But this has just been, it's an experience, and they are so serious, and I'm along for the ride. I'm giving it my best shot, but with fibromyalgia, a farm to run, and, you know, prepping for Rhinebeck, I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't.
I did kind of wonder about that, but, and, you know, I don't have time. It sounds like fun, but, like, today I've got to die, like, I don't know, 40 skeins of yarn. I have to get a new pigtail on the camper. I have to make my grocery list because we're camping this weekend at the Outer Banks. Super excited. Gershwin, our younger dog, has never been to the ocean before. And we are so excited to take him because Schubert loves it. Gershwin may not, but Schubert loves the ocean. And he's my scaredy dog. So Gershwin hopefully will have a blast playing in the sand and in the waves.
Wait, Scaredy Pants likes the ocean.
Scaredy Pants loves the ocean. He's like a little Baywatch dog. He loves to run and let his ears flop in the breeze.
But what if a diesel engine comes by? He's terrified of everything.
Well, you know, that's actually a real possibility because where we're staying, you can drive on the beach. But he's just going to have to get over it. Scaredy Pants does not like Candy Hill Campground. The campground is nice, and I have to say, I will give them a rousing endorsement. Airplane landing lady who flapped her arms and had to park us when we camped in July is not there anymore. And a very nice young man, I don't know, he's probably in his late 20s, helped us park. I got parked in one shot, and then he helped us. We had a little problem getting our camper unhooked because it was just me and my mom at Shenandoah. And he helped us and was super nice. So if you get a chance and need to camp in that area, try Candy Hill.
Yeah, I mean, we love it. They're always super nice to us. And, oh, God, that dinner was spectacular, too.
Which one?
Well, all of them. well, we went with you to Village Square. Everything tasted really well. I just wish they would have cooked my steak right the first time. But the night before at El Centro, we had dinner with, you weren't able to make it, but we had dinner with Katrina and Bob from Fluffy U Fiber Farm, and we went to El Centro, and I told you that's like my very favorite Mexican restaurant on the planet. And it did not disappoint. So
anyway. Always good food. Mom brought food for us. We had stew a couple of nights. We had beans because, well, I'm cheap like that. I can't even say frugal. I'm just cheap. And, you know, if you're going to make money, then don't spend money. That's kind of my philosophy at these things.
Well,
especially when you're paying so much for gas. Closer shows it's not such a big deal, but the gas to get to tow a camper 800 plus miles is quite a lot.
Well, that's our trade-off. If I don't get to sleep in a 4-star hotel, then, and I have to, you know, sleep in a tin can with the rain on the roof keeping me awake, then I get to have a nice dinner and a cocktail to at least try to get me to sleep.
In 4-star hotel, you're lucky to have a hotel or not to be the Bates Motel at some of these places, because they're not usually in a very populated area.
That's very true.
One of the reasons we got a camper, because there was a show last year. I was driving an hour each way just to get a hotel. It was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know which one you mean, and yeah,
it was a good show for me, but
it's a great show, but it's so far out in the middle of nowhere that there are no options.
Right.
But, oh, before I forget, I wanted to say hello to our viewer, Whimsically Knit, who came up and said hello to us at Shenandoah. That was the first time we ever had somebody say, oh, I listen to your podcast. And I was
kind
like,
of thrilling.
Really? You do? Seriously? For real? So, yeah, I wanted to say hello to Whimsically Knit. Hello. And, I'm so excited. Oh, that's the other thing I forgot to tell you. Exuberance is blocked and done and ready to go up in the booth. And Cladonia is done and being blocked. And I don't know how many more we'll have before Rhinebeck, but I'm super excited about that. Because remember I told you now we have the Kirsten Kapoor patterns in the booth for the ones that I really think look good in the natural fibers. And now
right.
We have samples knit in those as well. And I know you're working. Are you still working on Traveling Companion?
Off and on as I have time. I have a new sample, and it's the reversible cabled shawl. That's really hard to say. It's a Vogue pattern from a couple of years ago, and Chloe knitted up for me. It takes one skein of my Vivace lace, and it's gorgeous. It sold all of the lace I had in the booth at Shenandoah. So I'm taking more lace to SAF.
And when I was watching the booth for you, and those women were like practically molesting your mannequin playing with that shawl, when you got back, I'm like, you're going to have to redo that, because it was just, it was kind of a hot mess. There were like 6 or 8 ladies descended upon it at one time, and were just, you know, all up in it, so.
It's gorgeous, it and is. The colorway that it's, the sample is in, is called Lyrial, and I have that in lace, sock, and DK. So if you don't want it in lace weight, the project is easily transferred to a different weight of fiber. You just need to do fewer repeats.
Right. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Oh, I do have one more story from Shenandoah. Most of my colorways are named off of the Modern Witch series of books by Deborah Geary. I ran across them just as I was starting to dye yarn about 2 years ago. And they're niches. Witches that knit.
Witches niches.
They're very... Do what?
Witches niches. Yeah.
It's hard to say. They're very colorful books, so I took the colors that are kind of associated with the characters and dyed those colorways and then named the colors off of the characters in the book. Well, I haven't had anybody actually recognize the colorway names yet. And on Sunday, this youngish girl, I would say if she was, she was probably 18, her parents were there with her. And she starts around the booth, and she looks, and she looks at the tags, and she puts it back. And she looks at a tag, and she puts it back. And she gets about halfway around, and she pulls out Ervin, which is kind of a different name. And she looks at me and goes, oh, you read the books. So that was really exciting for someone to actually recognize what those books are named off of. The author just ended the series, which I was a little bit upset about because it was rather abrupt.
Yeah, that's what you said. She got divorced or something and wrote a quick epilogue and said, peace out.
Pretty much. She's coming out with some new series, and I hope one of these days she decides that she's capable of writing those characters again, because it's just kind of sad that the series ended that abruptly. She did write a final book and then an epilogue, but the series is... it starts with A Modern Witch, and then there are 7 books, and then there's a trilogy, and then 3 or 4 more books in like a sequel series. It's all the same characters, but it kind of resets the storylines. So look those up. Those are by Deborah Geary, and you'll understand a lot of my colorways if you take a perusal of those books, I guess. So that was exciting to see. Someone had actually read the books and recognized what I was doing there. But have we covered everything? Because I've got like 14 dozen things to do today still.
Hey, I gotta spin.
You have to spin. I've gotta go get a new pigtail for my camper so my brake light works and my blinker. That's always important.
Hey, I drove all the way home from Colonial Williamsburg with a horse trailer with no lights after dark. 9 hours.
What are you doing? Did you know that at the time?
Sorta, but there's not a whole lot of, it's one of those things, we're in the South, and it's the weekend, nobody's helping us, it's closed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, we made it. Just suck it up, Buttercup, you'll be fine.
Well, I've been quite a few places, and we really need to get this fixed, because we didn't realize the blinker wasn't working either.
Oh, geez, that's kind of an issue.
Yeah, a little bit. The brake light, you know, we have other brake lights that work. The blinker, that's kind of important. So, we're going to get that taken care of today. So...
All right, well, I'll get the show notes done. We'll get this up as soon as we can. And yep. We'll hope to see you all at Rhinebeck.
If not, at SAF for sure.
And then after that, I think I have one show left, Indie Knit and Spin in Pittsburgh. So, you have 3 chances to catch us, and then it will... God, then it'll be Thanksgiving.
And then we still have to decide if we're going to Disney in December. Yeah. On that note, we will wrap this up and talk to you later.
Ciao.